You've heard of Grammarly, and you might think it's a fancy spell check, but people on your team have been using it and loving it for years, because it does way more than you realise. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that works seamlessly across apps and websites and can write an instant first draft in a few clicks, not a few hours. When every word your team writes is clear, concise, and on brand, companies can save 19 days per employee per year. Learn what better writing can do for your company at Grammarly.com. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
From the heart of where innovation, money, and power collide in Silicon Valley and beyond, this is Bloomberg Technology with Caroline Hyde and Ed Ludlow.
I'm Ed Ludlow in San Francisco. Caroline Hyde's on assignment. This is Bloomberg Technology. Coming up, Meta says it will be the world's leading AI company, but investors don't like the roadmap to get there. Team coverage of a massive drop in Zuckerberg's stock. And from earnings to IPOs, we speak to the CEO of ServiceNow on their quarterly numbers and Rubrik's chief on listing day. And $14 billion goes to Micron from the CHIPS Act to boost America's memory chip prowess. But first, there is only one story that matters right now, and it is Meta. You see the share reaction. Zuckerberg outlining billions and billions of dollars are going to go into building out AI infrastructure. They're in investment mode. Expenses, range raised. CapEx, raised. But the focus of the call was on the product cycle. How many years is it going to take for this investment in AI at Meta to materialize in sales growth? That's the question. The stock on track for its biggest drop since October of 2022. And given Meta's scale, remember how well it's performed year to date. It was up more than 40% pre-earnings. Look at the market cap. Look at the scale of this company, but also the market cap lost in this morning session alone. Let's get team coverage. The reporting from Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner and the analysis from Bloomberg intelligence analyst Mandeep Singh. Kurt, I'm going to start with you. Mark Zuckerberg was combative on this call, but what he tried to do was say, trust me and bear with me. I've got a plan for AI to have an impact on the existing business. Explain what we learned.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He was basically saying, look, this is going to be a multi-year investment. This is not the kind of thing that's going to return, you know, to shareholders very quickly. But be patient, right? He said smart investors will see the benefits of this long-term plan, right? Sort of suggesting that, hey, you know, anyone who's savvy, anyone who that sees the future like I do, they're going to be in this stock even though it's taken a little bit of a short-term hit. And so, you know, it was a little bit, as you say, combative. It was one of those things that we don't necessarily always hear from him, which is sort of, you know, pleading investors, hey, be patient, hang tight, we're gonna get there eventually, but you got to weather a little bit of a turbulence in the meantime.
Mandeep, when you look at the fundamentals of this company, you and I were discussing before the earnings print, where do we look to see if there is already evidence that AI is impacting the top or bottom line? I looked at the impressions growth. I looked at the pricing growth of ads, because this is an advertising-based business. What did you see in those numbers?
Yeah, I mean, the impressions growth continues to be very impressive, you know, 20%, and that's driven by better feed recommendations. Ad targeting is better. And ad pricing, it was much better in the Europe region if you parse through the numbers. North America was lighter. Part of that could be explained from the pullback, you know, that everyone is expecting from Chinese advertisers like Temu and Shein, but they didn't call that out. So clearly that's a risk, and that's why that guidance, that top line guide was wide when you look for 2Q. But look, at the end of the day, When you look at the cost growth, the cost of revenue growth, that will be in double digits. So if that mid to high teens revenue doesn't pan out for some reason, and look, advertising is cyclical, that's when you will see margin compression. I mean, so far, the story has been cost control and revenue growth accelerating. Now that story could change because the cost will grow double digit. And if the revenue growth doesn't match, that's when there is a risk.
We're showing you the markets right now. Meta is down 12%, but on a points basis, clearly it's dragging down the NASDAQ 100 and S&P 500. The Philadelphia Semiconductor Index, or SOX, I put that on there because there was knee-jerk reaction, in particular NVIDIA last night, that fell. It is now up 3%, and I think the logic is Zuckerberg said 350,000 H100 GPUs will come online this year as Meta trains its AI model. Kurt, the other area of interest is Zuckerberg's kind of fired up about things that surprised me. Glasses. He spent a lot of time talking about glasses, but there is still lots of confusion. Well, okay, wait. Is the metaverse still a strategy? Also, the year of efficiency, is that still a thing? Just try and clear up the muddy waters for us on what Zuckerberg's trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that they're working on at one time. It's understandable that someone might be a little bit confused, but he did bring up the glasses a lot, and what he basically said was, these are progressing much faster than I anticipated, right? So the glasses, for those who aren't familiar, this is the idea of wearing a pair of specs that look like maybe reading glasses or sunglasses, but that have all kinds of AI or AR features packed into them. They're working with Ray-Ban to produce these right now, and I think what Mark Zuckerberg was saying was that these have gotten so good so fast that it's encouraged me to continue to invest in AI, to continue to put money into Reality Labs, the group that's building this. And so, you know, I think this has always been his long-term vision. He thought that the glasses would sort of be the next iteration of a phone. You would wear it on your face. But now he's saying he thinks they're getting there faster than he anticipated, which is why we're seeing this increase in spend.
Okay, gentlemen, bear with me. We've actually had a sort of breaking news headline since we've come on the air, and it relates to TikTok. ByteDance has published on its Chinese website a statement basically saying it has no plan to sell TikTok. ByteDance has no plan to sell TikTok. I think we need to dig a bit deeper in the coming days to understand what they specifically mean by that. Mandeep, you've also published research, your latest thinking on TikTok just this morning on the Bloomberg Terminal. Just explain the basics of it to us, please.
Yeah, I mean, look at TikTok has a lot of original content that goes to, you know, Snap, that goes through Instagram, YouTube. And so if TikTok is banned, a lot of those creators have to go to some other platform. Now, whether it's going to be YouTube Shorts or Instagram Reels, we don't know. But you can see that a lot of the original content creation happens on TikTok. And that's where I think you will see Meta being a beneficiary. But I'm excited to look at, you know, the YouTube numbers tonight, because to me, YouTube should be the 15% consensus numbers handedly, given the kind of, you know, viewership gains that you have already seen, you know, with YouTube. And so I think that's the one aspect that people need to think about, is the creators aren't going to wait for 9 months to move. They're already going to start thinking about what's the alternative platform where they can move their followers. And I think that's going to determine gains for Snap, YouTube, and Meta in the coming months.
I think it's important we note that on the earnings call for Meta, an analyst asked Mark Zuckerberg for reaction to TikTok. Susan Lee, the CFO, jumped in and said that they're monitoring that situation closely, but it was too early to tell the impact of a TikTok divest or ban on Meta's business. We're going to dig much deeper into Meta throughout the hour, but big thanks to Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner of Bloomberg News and Mandeep Singh of Bloomberg Intelligence. Coming up on the program, ServiceNow's sales forecast, full short of Wall Street expectations, but there is some positive outlook. It's AI related. We're going to speak to the CEO, Bill McDermott. There is a lot happening at once in the markets as well. Microsoft and Google, or Alphabet, the parent of Google, report after the bell. Those are pretty significant declines. And the idea here is that we're worried on the back of Meta's earnings. We're worried that all of this spend on AI infrastructure is not bringing some big boom in generative AI-driven sales growth, actual software products that people people use and those companies make money from. It's going to be such an interesting afternoon. This is Bloomberg Technology.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's where Grammarly comes in. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
ServiceNow out with first quarter results, but it's the outlook where the focus is. Projecting subscription sales will increase about 22%, $2.5 billion in the current period. That was a little bit below what the street was expecting, but those are street expectations. What about the big expectations of the company's CEO? Bill McDermott, CEO of ServiceNow, joins us now. Bill, good morning to you. Let's cover off the classic earnings stuff. You have a strong quarter, and then you give an outlook which, relative to consensus estimates, was a bit disappointing. What would your pushback to that market reaction be?
Well, first, I think you have to look at the triple play that we just pulled off. Ed, we had a beat on the top line, a beat on the bottom line, and we raised the full year guidance. So if the high class problem we're solving for is we didn't raise the guidance enough, everyone can really relax, because over the last 5 years that I've been here, we always beat, and we have every expectation of doing so again.
Bill, I actually want to invite you to give the basics of what ServiceNow does. I think that a big portion of the audience know the name. They might appreciate just an explanation of what it is you're out there in the world doing. And my summary basically is you're trying to capture IT spend, you know, the budget for IT spend from all kinds of companies.
Yeah, I think the best way to sum it up is think of ServiceNow as the AI platform for business transformation. If you look at companies today, they need a platform on an end-to-end basis, from IT to the employee experience, to the way they run their customer relationships, and the way they build new products. They need one platform that can do all of that. And what's unique about ours, we built it organically. There's no tech debt in it, and it's pristine. It's a sheet of glass that lies above the mess that's been created for the last half century. And the big movement today is now, what is the new frontier? The new frontier is Gen AI. And people say Gen AI, what does that mean? It means the companies and the CEOs that are watching this program need to optimize their processes. Every business workflow in every enterprise will be engineered with Gen AI. We are the first mover and the market leader in that category in the enterprise. So the future glide path could not be brighter.
Bill, the stock is down almost 6%. I note that there is some pressure in the market this morning because of Meta's earnings, and we'll get to that in a bit. But let's talk about RPO, because I think that gives some evidence of the backlog. RPO, meaning remaining performance obligations. That's basically SaaS speak for backlog. You've got a backlog. Why should the investor base be more positive about that backlog?
Well, they should feel really good that we have nearly $18 billion in remaining performance obligations. So that is business we have in the backlog that is yet to be fully recognized. So the backlog is there. We're beating on the revenue. Just think about this. We beat on the revenue by 100 basis points. We beat on the margin by 150 basis points. Our free cash flow was up 47%, and our gross profit was up 83%. And we're talking about, was the increase in the guide enough? And you just mentioned it, Ed, perfectly. There's $18 billion in backlog. So the company is really on a tear. And one of the reasons it's on a tear is you have great companies like Microsoft and IBM, as an example, that are transforming their employee experience with a digital-first support model, freeing up all kinds of resources and fueling innovations on ServiceNow's Gen AI. Novartis is delivering new drugs and increasing operational efficiency by streamlining clinical trials, research, and financial management with our Gen AI, and there's countless other examples. So Gen AI right now is a small part of the overall total. You know, we're a $10 billion run rate cloud company, but the uptick in future sales in generative AI when companies re-engineer the way they run on our platform is unbelievable, because there'll be a $500 billion spent on it in 2027 alone. So this is a really big market. We're the leader, and we're teaming up with the best in the business like NVIDIA, Microsoft, IBM, and others to create a bright future.
You know, again, Bill, the stock is down 6%, and there are reasons why for that in the short term. One of them is probably Meta. I know that you're the CEO of ServiceNow, but to extrapolate from Meta, part of the concern last night was all this investment is going into the underlying infrastructure that supports generative AI. But Meta is a case study. They're not yet seeing that investment in the infrastructure translate to top-line growth in the form of software, right? Tangible evidence that they're selling AI as a product, as a platform. In your case, you are only selling it as a software layer. Just explain that thesis. Like, should we be as concerned that corporate America has not yet worked out how to sell AI?
Absolutely. So let's differentiate. First of all, Meta is a great company. They had very good results, and their guide might have been a little muted in terms of the return on Gen AI. They're running large language models, and that's very important for the future of the world, and they're doing a great job. We're running small language models, which basically means we run our platform with the customer's data in mind. So it's rocket fast, zero latency. Because we're using the customer's own data, there is total accuracy, and it is very inexpensive. And that's why customers are buying our Gen AI now, because it's secure, it's inexpensive to run, and it's 100% accurate based on the customer's data. So that is what they're buying right now. We also have an open platform where we integrate with Meta, and we integrate with Google and Microsoft and all the other market-leading companies out there should the customer want to reach into large language models. And we've teamed up with NVIDIA, where NVIDIA, probably our greatest partner in this category, is running small language models for us and large language models with their compute power. Let me give you an example, Ed. Let's think about employees and customers. Think about Gen AI deflecting all the soul-crushing work that people don't want to do anymore. So think of employee and customer deflection, where virtual agents can actually do the work that people used to have to do. Think about software engineers increasing their productivity or their speed of innovation by nearly 50%
yes.
by texting something in natural language and turning that into software code.
Yes.
And there's several other examples, but the point is small language models are selling today. We're making a lot of money at it. And large language models are also available on our platform, but our customers are really
yes.
teaming up with Microsoft, for example, on Copilot, and ServiceNow on our virtual assist AI platform. And like
Bill.
We got a together is better solution for the marketplace, and that's what's selling today.
Bill, I appreciate the depth of the answer. Bill McDermott, CEO of ServiceNow, thank you so much. Coming up, Microsoft-backed Rubrik goes public amid a rise in demand for data security. We do speak to the CEO, Bipul Sinha, next. This is Bloomberg Technology.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop. Customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's where Grammarly comes in. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly, easier said, done.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Rubrik, which focuses on data management recovery from ransomware attacks and accelerates cloud mobility, is officially going public. And joining us now is Rubrik's CEO, Bipul Sinha. Bipul, the shares are indicated to open at $38 a share. You priced this IPO at $32. Just tell me what that means to you today.
Thank you, Ed, for this opportunity to speak with you. It's a very exciting day for Rubrik employees, our customers, our partners, and everybody in our ecosystem around the world. Look, I will leave the stock price to the experts and the traders. Ultimately, we are a different kind of cybersecurity company, and we are helping our customers continue to run their business, even in presence of cyber attacks and breaches, so that hospitals are open, kids are going to school. When people swipe credit card, they get money out, irrespective of whether there's a successful cyber attack or not.
Bipul, did you really need to go public for the visibility? Like, your business seems to be doing quite well. Do you think this actually tangibly improves your sales?
Look, we are working with a number of customers around the world, having more visibility, having more brand name recognition, and more importantly, when you are as a public company, everybody can see your numbers and they understand the resilience of the business. That's actually good for our customers, that's actually good for our ecosystem, and it also helps us be in front of more innovative companies, talk to them about our story, and essentially help them against the ransomware attack and other cyber attack to deliver cyber recovery and cyber resilience.
Bipul, I spent 2 years asking you if you'd go public. You finally and eventually are doing it. But I think there's a feeling that there's a hell of a premium on this IPO. A lot of people want to see evidence of revenue and profit that comes from this. But you resisted the temptation to talk endlessly about AI. Are you saying you don't have a core AI story?
We do have a core AI story. Rubrik has been building AI for the last 10 years. In fact, our data threat engine is built on AI platform that delivers security intelligence directly from the data. And more recently, we announced a product, Ruby, which is a generative AI-based AI data defense and recovery that helps cyber defender fight fire with fire, because you know attackers are applying AI in terms of how they are increasing the volume, variability, and velocity of attacks. We are allowing the defenders use AI in terms of Rubrik and Ruby so that they can deliver cyber resilience and cyber recovery.
People, very quickly, Microsoft remains an important financial and technology partner to you. How will that relationship work now going forward?
We have a very strong relationship with Microsoft. In fact, we were Microsoft Partner of the Year in 2023, both for US and UK. We continue to co-innovate together, continue to help our joint customers get cyber resilience, make sure that they can withstand cyber attacks and continue to run their business, because after all, digital trust starts with keeping the services up and running, even when you are attacked, even if the cyber breach has happened to you.
Rubrik CEO Bipul Sinha, after 2 years of asking if you go public, you did. Thank you.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's where Grammarly comes in. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly, easier said, done.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Okay, welcome back to Bloomberg Technology. Ed Ludlow here in San Francisco. Let's talk about TikTok. The clock is ticking for TikTok to avoid its ban in the US, should it be unable to divest. Joining us now from DC is Bloomberg's Mike Shepard. And Mike basically leads our coverage of the intersection of politics and tech. We had that breaking news headline at the top of the hour, Mike, that ByteDance saying through its Chinese website that it has no plan to divest or no plan to sell TikTok. That was the wording or translation. I don't really feel like I understand what they mean by that. They're digging in, basically.
They are digging in, Ed, and the statement in a way is not that much of a surprise. They've made clear through this process as the legislation started to take shape last month that really started to look real, look like it was going to happen, that they had no intention of playing ball and that, in fact, they would try to fight it with every arrow in their quiver. They really want to make sure that they are able to hold on to this valuable asset and resist what they see as, and the Chinese government also sees as, interference in a valuable media property.
So there's a lot that's happening quite quickly. We'd reported that ByteDance was thinking about a solution where it sold TikTok, but without its sacred algorithm. And on the show yesterday, we talked about why that algorithm is so important for content creators in particular. The president signed this law, signed this into law yesterday. But as far as I'm aware, the president hasn't actually commented or specifically talked about his view on TikTok. Just update us on the politics, I guess, of the last 24 hours.
This is a great question, Ed, because, you know, politics has really surrounded this, not only the geopolitics between the U.S. and China, but even the domestic politics. And when it surfaced back in March, President Joe Biden said he would sign it. He would sign the measure. But he hasn't really expounded much more on it. Now, to be clear, the TikTok bill was attached to a much larger foreign aid package, which was a far greater priority for the president and his administration. They wanted to see aid to Ukraine get through above anything else. And in his remarks yesterday, he really devoted the lion's share of his commentary to that. At the same time, his spokesperson made clear yesterday after the president spoke that selling TikTok, a full divestiture, was something that they wanted. At the same time, they do not want to see the app shut down. They respect that many U.S. users derive great enjoyment from it. And also, for many, it is also a source of business. And that is something that the administration does not want to see shut down.
Bloomberg's Mike Shepard out of D.C. Really appreciate the coverage. And I think we're going to be talking about this quite a lot for at least 270 days. Thank you. I'm going to keep the conversation going and get some of kind of the market analysis. Jasmine Enberg is principal analyst at Insider Intelligence. We're wading through a lot of unknowns. But where is your head at, Jasmine? You look at TikTok from the point of view, well, this is a platform that almost 50% of Americans are using. What do you think will happen?
Well, I think the announcement from ByteDance today that they weren't going to sell was to be expected. I mean, TikTok has already said it's going to wage an intense legal battle. I think the question for me is what happens now with all of this uncertainty? I mean, TikTok obviously has a lot of loyal users. Many of them have already come out in full force to defend the app, and I expect they'll do so again. I don't expect many of them to leave, and advertisers aren't going to leave as long as there's audiences to reach. And content creators, of course, which are a really important part of the app, aren't going to leave if there is money to be made. But if there's one thing that advertisers don't like, it's uncertainty. And if this uncertainty surrounding the legal battle and what happens to TikToks sends enough of them running for higher ground, that could eventually lead to creators starting to leave, and users will follow creators wherever they go. And that could end up in an undoing of TikTok even before this matter is resolved in courts, or if it finds a buyer, ByteDance changes its mind.
So Jasmine, coming into the show today, before the headline crossed about ByteDance having no plan to sell TikTok, what was your thesis before that moment on TikTok?
My thesis in terms of whether it was going to be sold or not, I mean, what I was thinking about mostly was in terms of the algorithm and how important a part of that would be in terms of whatever sale could potentially take place. I mean, the algorithm is a big part of what makes TikTok tick, and not having it as part of the sale would, of course, lessen the valuation, potentially expand the potential list of buyers, but it still wouldn't be an easy task to find a buyer for TikTok, even if ByteDance were willing to sell the app.
Okay, so last night during Meta's earnings call, an analyst asked Mark Zuckerberg for basically reaction to the TikTok situation. Susan Lee, who's the CFO, jumped in and answered the question and said, you know, we're monitoring it, looking at it closely, too early to tell what it means for our business. Do you have a clear winner in any scenario of who the main beneficiary of a TikTok divest or a TikTok ban might be in the social media landscape?
Yeah, well, Meta has been pretty silent on this issue, and for good reason. I mean, there could be ramifications in other countries where Meta does business. Meta would be a clear winner if TikTok were to disappear from the U.S., mainly because of Instagram Reels. It is one of the most natural fits for displaced TikTok users. It's not exactly the same as TikTok, but I imagine that a large number of TikTok users would move there or to YouTube Shorts. And it would also be a winner in terms of ad dollars. Now, Meta is a massive player in the digital ad landscape. We're expecting it to bring in about $64 billion in U.S. ad revenues this year. TikTok's ad business is smaller, by no means small. It's about $10 billion in ad revenues. And so, of course, some of those dollars, a big chunk of those dollars, would likely go to Meta as well.
Jasmine, will Meta be the world's leading AI company?
It's a great question, and Meta certainly is in the AI race to win it. I do think it could be a dark horse in the race to AI. If you think about the distribution potential alone, it has a built-in audience through Facebook, through Instagram, through WhatsApp. I was doing some calculations after it released Meta AI into the search bars and Facebook feed just last week, and Meta only needs 43% of U.S. Facebook users to use Meta AI on a monthly basis for its audience to be as big as ChatGPT is here in the U.S. And that isn't unthinkable if you consider how prominently and permanently Meta AI is displayed across the apps. And then in terms of monetization, you know, that is going to be a big factor in determining who wins the AI race. And Meta has a competitive advantage there. We don't really know how Gen AI is going to be monetized, but like pretty much everything Meta does, it's likely to be an ad play, and this would be connected to its powerful ad ecosystem. And so I could see it emerging as an unexpected winner, though, of course, there is a lot of competition and a crowded market still to face.
Meta shares off session lows, but we're still down more than 12%. Jasmine Enberg of Insider Intelligence, it's always great to have you on the program. Thank you. I just broke this story with Bloomberg's Kurt Wagner. We just published it on the Bloomberg Terminal. Elon Musk is going to be deposed on Monday as part of the first arbitration hearings in the legal process where former Twitter employees have basically brought a class action against Elon Musk. The former Twitter employees say they were cheated out of severance pay when Musk bought the social media company in October of 2022. Law firm Licton & List Riordan will be representing almost 2,000 former Twitter staff in individual arbitrations, as well as more than a dozen class action lawsuits overall in the courts. That story just out on Bloomberg. I'm sure it will be online soon as well. Stay with us. We have so much more ahead on the program. This is Bloomberg Technology.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's where Grammarly comes in. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly, easier said, done.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Okay, it's time for Talking Tech. And first up in the news, Abu Dhabi startup G42 is choosing sides. The company, known for a sprawling product portfolio in AI, is teaming up with American companies like Amazon, OpenAI and Microsoft, and divesting from its Chinese partners. The move comes amid worries from U.S. officials of open back doors from the Chinese government, with some members considering an intelligence briefing to discuss G42's latest partnership with Microsoft. That is the Bloomberg reporting. Plus, Chinese online tutoring platform Zhongbang has filed confidentially for a U.S. IPO. That's according to sources. The filing adds to signs that Beijing's looking to boost funds for its tech industry. The company is said to be working with advisors on the potential listing that could take place as early as this year. And semiconductor maker SK Hynix says it expects a full recovery in the memory chip market led by AI-related demand. The company posting first quarter results that exceeded expectations, forecasting its fastest pace of revenue growth since 2010. SK Hynix says it's entering a rebound phase and is preparing to expand capacity for its leading edge chips. Okay, let's stick with chips, let's stick with memory. Micron is expected to receive nearly $14 billion in U.S. grants and loans to help the company build new American fabs or factories. We're also expecting Intel results after the bell. There is a lot happening in real time with the semiconductor industry. Joining us to discuss it, Bloomberg's Ian King, who leads our coverage of semis. Let's start with Micron. They are the number three maker of memory chips, the U.S. leader of memory chips, almost $14 billion in grants and loans, crucially, seems like a lot of money. It's not really, is it?
Well, I mean, for somebody like you or Micron, it really isn't. For me, it would be a lot of money. I mean, 6.1 is guaranteed, right? But when you put that in context of the $125 billion that they're looking to put into a factory network that's going to be built over the next few years, clearly that's not. I mean, it will help even the cost base between building here versus building in Asia, where they have most of their facilities right now. But it's not a freebie by any stretch.
The memory market's really interesting. Historically, commoditized, boom and bust cycles. We're talking about principally DRAM and NAND or flash memory. The next generation of memory is goes into data centers for AI. And Micron is competing against those big names, Samsung, SK Hynix. Why are they wanting to onshore this basically in America? What's their kind of play here?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of things. We had a conference call with the political leadership behind this bid, and they're basically like, look, we can't afford to have all our eggs in one basket. Look what happened during the pandemic. We need production of this increasingly important technology in the United States. And as you just indicated, it isn't just a commodity or won't be just the commodity that it has been in the past. So we need this key technology in this country is the argument that is being made.
We're talking about HBM3E or high bandwidth memory, and we've done a lot on the program. Our audience will know, and we will continue, I'm sure, to talk about it. In the moment, Intel is the next kind of big chip name to report after the bell. What are we expecting?
Yeah, expectations are very low. I mean, this is a stock that's down 30% this year, way below what the SOX index, the key semiconductor index has done. We already know that their operations are struggling. We know that their manufacturing is poor. The key question that we're going to see answered today is, are PCs getting a little bit better? Are companies and hyperscalers starting to spend on server chips again? That's really what people want the answer to.
It's the same story every quarter, and we wonder if the story changes when it comes to earnings. We're looking forward to that one. Ian King of Bloomberg News, thank you.
What if everyone at work were an expert communicator? What if every doc, message, and email they wrote was perfectly clear and concise? Inbox numbers would drop, customer satisfaction scores would rise, and everyone would be more productive. That's where Grammarly comes in. Grammarly is a secure AI writing partner that understands your business and can transform it through better communication. Companies that use Grammarly save an average of 19 days per employee per year. That's because with Grammarly's AI, what used to take a few hours only takes a few clicks, like generating an instant first draft in your company voice or tailoring a message to your specific audience and goals. And Grammarly's personalized on-brand writing help is built in everywhere your team works, across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, it's safe, secure, and already IT approved. Join 70,000 teams who trust Grammarly with their words and their data. Learn more at Grammarly.com. Grammarly, easier said, done.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Let's talk again about Meta. The stock is back down 13%. It's off session lows, but there's a lot of anxiety in technology more broadly based on what we had in Meta's earnings and basically the commentary on the AI infrastructure spend that's going to happen. Jefferies Brent Hill joins us now. On Meta specifically, because I think we need to have a sort of bigger picture conversation. You cut your price target to $540, I think, from $585. But are you actually anxious or worried about what you heard last night from Zuckerberg?
Not at all. I think this is a gift for investors. You know what I think we've learned in AI, you need three things. You need users, you need data, and you need money. And the list of vendors that are going to survive is very small. And Meta is going to be one of them. And so for long-term shareholders, this is a great opportunity. They're going to do $25 of earnings power. You can put a low 20 multiple, you know, to mid 20s, and you're going to get anywhere between, you know, 500 plus to 600 plus in the stock. And so when you look at just, you know, back of the envelope on earnings, it has huge support with the stock trading at 16, 17 times right now. I think in terms of the worry, I don't worry because I think they're doing the right thing. These investments are not going into the metaverse. They're going into AI. They're going back into the core platform where there are billions of users that are trying to have better engagement. It helps advertisers create campaigns faster. It's going to send more ad dollars into the platform because it's going to be so easy to create a campaign and find a new user for your travel company, for your apparel company, for your beauty company. They'll be able to find more users in a more relevant way. So we think it pays off. So I'm not worried.
So let's push ahead to Alphabet and Microsoft. And if I draw a commonality, and there is an anxiety with what happened with Meta, I guess it's the idea that for all the billions of dollars and data centers around the world that are being built, it doesn't yet translate tangibly to revenue growth that is selling an AI product directly. Is that a thesis you share?
We are in the age of AI hype. We are not in the revenue cycle yet. At our private internet conference last week, we had many of the top AI leaders, and everyone said that AI is in infrastructure, right? It's in NVIDIA, as you were talking about before the break, and you're dead right about this. It's in NVIDIA, AMD, Dell. You look at all the enabling infrastructure, it's there. It hasn't gotten to the application layer. And for all of our companies in software, it's a single-digit percent of revenue. 95% of these AI deployments are proof of concept. Less than 5% of them are live. I mean, how do you monetize when you're in proof of concept? And so I think what we're seeing is this building interest. IBM talked about, you know, $1 billion backlog number last night on their call. That was, you know, a few hundred million just a few quarters ago, right? The interest is building, but in terms of the overall impact for the software ecosystem, it's still not there yet, and it will be. Microsoft remains in the best position because they are the furthest ahead, they have the most vision, and they have the best management team of anyone in software with no questions asked. So they're going to be in a great spot, but it's right. Even for Microsoft, it's going to take time. And again, we've said this, the AI revenue reality is kicking in later this year into 25, and that's why investors want to be overweight semis or the SMH is massively outperforming. That's where our clients are, and that's why these stocks are all green today and all my stocks are red.
Hey Brent, I'm not asking you to do my job for me, but I'm going to speak to Ruth Porat after the numbers hit this afternoon. What do you think I should ask her?
The number one question for Ruth is, there's two. One is, when is the new CFO coming on board? It's been 9 months, and you haven't effectively updated this. Two, if you did simple things with investors, your stock would go up 15% or your multiple would go up 15%. Google is the least shareholder-friendly company of anyone in tech. And there's just simple blocking and tackling they can do to get the stock higher. Have an analyst day, bring people in, talk about what they're doing in AI, put a financial framework. They're the only company in tech that doesn't guide. Meta, Amazon, Microsoft, go through the list. They all give some color. There's no color. So with no color and no insight and no hand-holding, our clients are like, I want to be able to do the work, and I can do the work on these other companies. And right now, I think investors are frustrated. They're frustrated with that. So one, you know, CFO, and two would be, you know, do you realize how easy it is to get your stock higher if you follow the simple playbook?
Brent Thill, Jefferies, I appreciate the help. Thank you. Wow. That was not an answer I was expecting, I have to be honest. That does it for a pretty packed edition of Bloomberg Technology. It was a big morning in markets, but technology stories were at the heart of it. So recap, listen to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and we're also posting the pod, which so many of you are listening to on the Bloomberg platforms. Again, buckle up, earnings is the story to come. From San Francisco, this is Bloomberg Technology.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.